Well, that was very fun. So if you all wonder what it possibly could be like to have twins, that's sort of just a taste, just a little taste. All right. So happy Mother's Day to everyone here. Today's a beautiful day. Today is a special day. Today is also, for some, a very hard day. Some, a tough day. And you sort of go, how do you summarize this whole day for people? Because you know that some people are actually hurting and some people are really joyful. So it's sort of going, for me, when I did this scripture, well, I felt that God laid this scripture, and it really went along with this whole year anyway, the transformation of Jesus. How do we become disciples, authentic disciples of Jesus? So how do we imitate God, and how do we do all of that? And so that was exactly in line with it. And we are people of love, regardless of whether of who we are in life and where God has placed us. We are image bearers, and how do we do that? And it's always this is, I think I've spoken on Mother's Day, like I've went in, like I've shared part in Mother's Day in 20 years. This is the first time I've actually spoken on Mother's Day. So I know, for whatever reason, this is the first time. And so a lot of emotions were going through, because how do you put all of that in the one? So I'm here, I really want to say, be joyful, be sad, be everything that you need to feel on this day. If you're grieving, it's okay. If it's tough for you, that's okay. If you're feeling joy, that's okay. It's wherever you're at, that's okay. You don't need to not feel joy because somebody else is finding it tough. But you also don't need to feel joy because somebody else is joyful. Wherever you're at, be. Wherever you're at is where God will meet you. Because if you're not real with where you're at, which is what we were talking about when we were talking about the two men on the road to Emmaus, they were real with God. If you're not real with where you're at, you're going to struggle with your relationship with Jesus, because you're not being open, you're not being real. So wherever you are at in your journey, be real. And that's okay. You can be that. Just be it. That's the best way I can describe it. So Ephesians 5:1-2. Follow, it's bigger writing than the pot. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So I had said before, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were described as sweet-smelling aromas. And so Paul here was meaning that Jesus' sacrifice was the ultimate holy and pleasing sacrifice, sweet smelling aroma to God, and that was perfect and complete. And then we are to imitate this love, that we are to walk around with this sort of aroma, this sort of fragrance around everywhere that we are. And I didn't go on this trajectory when I was diving into this scripture. I sort of was like, oh, how do we imitate parents? And you know, I've got two girls, and girls imitate mums and dads, because I was trying to think of, you know, whether they were dressing up in Elton's clothes or whatever they were doing. They were imitating us. So I was trying to think, how do they imitate us? You know, how's it light? How's it funny? How's it whatever? And then God sort of like slammed me quite a bit in this message that I didn't actually think about. But when you go down into the research and science of how humans evolved in imitating their parents or role models. So when they're children, I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritties of it, but when they're children, they imitate their parents or guardians or however that looks, because they need to understand the world, right? It's just their form of, they need to understand where they're at, so they imitate speech, they imitate actions, they imitate whatever they can, because they're trying to understand where they're at. Then they get to teen and adolescent age and they want to reject everything that a parent is doing because they want to find their individuality. They don't really know why they're rejecting it. We feel hurt, but if you've got a teen, you can hold on because it's going to turn around again. But it's not purposely because they're trying to reject you. You could feel it, they could feel it, but it's just the way it's wired, I guess. They're trying to find their own identity, so then they want to reject everything that we, or as parents, try to put on them so they can find their own individuality. Then when they become adults, there's deep when you go into it. I'm just giving you my versions of it. When you go into being an adult, you sort of take on the honouring and the legacy of it. So then you go, oh, that's how my parents did it. I'll do that. So you start to begin to imitate again, but out of wanting to. So you go, oh, I have work ethic like my mum or dad, or I want to parent like them, or I want to, whatever, eat like them. However it looks, you then take on what you saw as a young child. So as an adult, you start to adapt to that. So I started going down this journey of how my kids would imitate me. And I thought I could go into Elton, but it's Mother's Day, so we'll go into how they would imitate me. Because you don't actually think when you're bringing your kids up in love, you're not, I'm not going to speak for you. I didn't think that when you're bringing your kids up in love, this is going to be a very vulnerable moment for me, and if you're new here, I apologize. I'm not always so vulnerable. It's been a big thing for me to try and be vulnerable. This is probably the most vulnerable that I'm going to be up here, so I'm going to try not to cry and try and speak in third party. But I didn't think getting up here on Mother's Day this morning, I was going to have to go through this story or journey. So, and I thought I wouldn't cry, and it's already starting. Because I did all my crying when he put me through this. So anyway, I thought I'd be okay. So when I explained it to Elton, I didn't cry. Anyway, so I'll give you a couple of examples of my sort of, what do you say? I have this thing that when I don't want to cry, I think of my dog. Because dogs love you all the time. How can you cry when you think of how much you are loved by your dog, right? So, but she's getting old now, so when I think of Lola, I actually want to cry. So it doesn't work anymore. So a couple of examples of just to explain to you sort of my journey of school. My journey of school, very tough, primary school and high school. So, So I struggled to keep friends. I didn't expect to cry at this part because this is over. But to keep friends in both. In primary school, I struggled to keep friends. In high school, I was very bullied, verbally and physically. So in primary school, I was very hairy. I was an Italian girl. You didn't get a lot of them. And I was made fun of a lot. So to keep friends, my mum used to give me 50 cents, and I used to buy everybody twin poles. They were about 5-10 cents at the time. And I used to give them out to friends, right? Because I thought, this is how people will stay friends with me. I learned pretty quickly how to keep friends, because then later on in life, I became a beauty therapist before this path. I never knew I was going on this path. And I have a family of hairdressers. So I was like, I was good at doing hair, so I'll do your hair, I'll do your nails, I'll do your makeup, I'll do this. I knew how to do it all. So it was like, let me do this for you, let me do that for you, let me do this for you. I knew how to, not buy friends, that sounds really horrible, but it was pretty much what I was doing. But what I thought was okay reasons. Anyway, we'll keep going. So we heard Taylor's story last week on how she went through a journey of anxiety. My eldest daughter, for those of you who don't know, how she was healed also of anxiety. That's what we went through last week at our intimate encounter morning. So anxiety runs through my family. So when I get the call from a teacher at 9 years old telling me your daughter has anxiety, you sort of go, oh. Sort of go, it's been passed on from the family, but you sort of go, doesn't everybody have what we have? Because that's what you know people have. Anyway, so then you don't really go on this trajectory of, oh, your kids are imitating those parts of you. You want them to imitate all the good parts of you, right? What you want to teach them. You don't really want them to imitate what they're watching. And this is why when I said to Nathan and Carissa, kids learn what's caught, not taught. That's what happens. Kids learn what's caught. So then I hear Deanna, as she goes through primary school, she's now in year 11, she used to buy her friends icy poles because that must have seemed like a good idea to keep friends, right? So she would buy her friends icy poles to keep friends. And in my head, I wouldn't say anything, but in my head I'm like, oh, like that's what she would imitate because it's caught. You think you're telling these stories to don't do the same as me, but that's what's imitated. Then Taylor, as she was growing up, well, I'm a gift giver, right? I'm somebody who does that. And when I buy a gift, I put a lot of thought into a gift. So Taylor's friends, I would buy the best gifts. And then one day, I heard that one of her friends told another person that I was buying her friendship for Taylor. That wasn't what I was purposely doing. My girls are great gift givers. That was good. I'm benefiting. I am reaping that imitation right now, right? But that's what this person thought, and other people agreed. Because that's not subconsciously, maybe that's what was happening, I don't know. But that's what this person thought. This person clued on, like, oh, she's trying to buy my friendship for her daughter. Anyway, I used to sit on Taylor's bed every night. This is every night, because remember, she wasn't good, especially in high school, but primary school, all through primary school. Every night. We prayed with our kids every night. And you think you're praying with your kids every night, you're sitting there, you're giving them life lessons every night. But the life lessons I was giving my children while I'm sitting there was, you've got to see the other person. You've got to see the next person. You've got to go and find out, because you've got to find out what's wrong with the next person. You've got to apologize, even because maybe you did something even if you did not think you did something. They're not all bad things. But it was to the point, because I was so wired to be a people pleaser, I was creating my kids to be a people pleaser. And I was creating this in especially Taylor. No, you need, so she's coming home hurt, she's crying. And I'm like, no, you need to go and see that person. Did you do something wrong? You need to go and fix this. You need to go and apologize. You need to go and see the next person. Like that was a constant teaching that I constantly did with Taylor. Deanna, on the other hand, watched this and went, okay, now I'm seeing Taylor cry all the time. I'm seeing Taylor go through all of this, even though she keeps apologizing. She keeps, I'm going to shut down. Vulnerability is going to be the hardest thing I'm ever going to do. I'm not going to do it. So these are imitations of watching. These girls are going, oh my gosh, Mum, you are outing us out so much right now. But this is imitation that's caught. I was so busy trying to teach life lessons on how to please people without just simply teaching the exact scripture that we have today. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When we follow God's example, we can't get it wrong. When we follow the love that he gives us, we can't get it wrong. When we teach our children how much he loves them, it's automatically going to outflow and outpour onto other people. We don't need to teach them everything that we learned because of everything that's happened to us. We just need to teach them how loved they are by God. And then everything else will overflow from that. When we know how much grace we've been given, we will give grace to people. When we have that mercy that God's given us and we know it, we will give mercy unto people. When we know how forgiven we are, we will then be forgiving to people. When we know how loved we are, we will then be loving to people. We need to know these things about God to us, because when we actually know these things and we hold on to these things as truth, it doesn't matter what we're taught and it doesn't matter what we teach. Because we hold on to who God is in us. And when we know all of these things, outside of us that love pours onto others. I wouldn't have needed to teach these girls to see other people, because when we know the true identity of who we are and how much God loves us, outpours that already onto people. When we already know that He forgives us already, well, then I don't need to tell her you need to go and forgive someone, because she already will, because she already knows how forgiven she is. When she already knows how loved she is by God, well, I don't need to tell her see someone outside of you, because she goes, you know what? I'm already so loved that I will love that person. But what happens when you're such a chronic people pleaser is that you become a doormat and then you love everybody else. That's not what God says. He doesn't say that. He goes, you know how loved you are. Now you go love. But when we fail to know that, we get this so skewed and we go, okay, I need to love my neighbor, but love my neighbor as myself. It's not saying hate yourself. It's not saying put yourself lower. It's saying, how much do you love your neighbor? How much do I love you? Now you go love your neighbor. When you know that, and then when you know how much grace He's given you, when you know how forgiven you are, when you know how much mercy He's given you, when you know He did it all for you, you don't need anybody to tell you how to see somebody else. So if you're not seeing somebody else outside of you, do you know how much God loves you? The book of Ephesians, the first few chapters, tells you how chosen you are by God, the inheritance we have in Christ, that we're called for a purpose. He gives this clear picture of our identity. So when it gets into the chapter 5, this is what he's saying. This is the image that we should hold. We're meant to imitate Him in everything we do. It comes after knowing exactly who we are. I was so busy teaching being a people pleaser because that's all I knew. That's all I knew how to do. But when we know how much God loves us, it pales in comparison to the hurt, to the upbringing. There's some of us here who are bringing up our kids or have been brought up by cultures, by races, by colors, by where we come from. And that's what we hold on to. We hold on to our culture. We hold on to where we're from. We hold on to what we've been taught. I'm not just talking about parents that are teaching children. I'm talking about each individual here that comes from a different place. My family comes from a different place. We hold on to cultures. We hold on to teachings. We hold on to whether north or south is better. We hold on to all of those things, right? Because that's where we come from. And so then that makes our DNA. But when you become a believer in Christ, your DNA's changed. It's changed. So then we go, okay, if I know how much God loves me, then that's what outpours out of me. Not how you look at me, not how I was taught, not how what teaching came into me, not that I need to do this to show that I'm a better out of where I come from, or however that looks. When we actually learn who we are, that's what we teach and that's what we're taught. That's what then comes out on how we love other people. That's what then comes out of the image and how we imitate God's love. That's what then comes out. So I just want to go down to a couple of quotes here of how we actually love and how we do this. Because we can read scripture, we can pray, we can fast, we can repent, we can come to church, and they're all really important things. We need all of that in our devotion to Jesus. We need all of that time. We need the silent time. We need the Sabbath. We need all of those things. But when we don't have, when we're not a person of love, it means really nothing, because that's what he says is the first thing. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, everything. And love your neighbor as yourself. He did not say, first, go to church and read the word. You need that, then read the word, and I'll tell you everything that's in the word. And then what comes out of you is love to people. That's what comes out of you. We need to know more of what's in the Bible, yes, but are you becoming a person of love? Peter Scazzaro, the author of Emotionally Healthy Spiritual, says, loving people well is a defined characteristic of a mature Christian. Loving people well is the defining characteristic of a mature Christian. It doesn't say knowing the Bible well. It doesn't say praying a lot. It doesn't even say giving a lot of money. Not living by rules. It doesn't make you a mature Christian. How well you love people. So if someone were to imitate you today, child, person, anyone, if somebody were to walk alongside you right now and imitate you, would love be the thing that they imitate? So that's the question that's given to you today? Would love be the thing that they imitate if they were to walk alongside you today? Or would it be what you're good at? Or would it be serving? Or would it be, I read the Bible well? Or would it be praying well? I'm not saying these things aren't good, right? Also could be, you know, things that aren't good. So I'm not saying that. Could be good things, could be bad things. But is it love that they will imitate if they walk alongside you? And it's not a funny, fuzzy, I love this type of feeling, love. We can love that on Facebook and Instagram all we like. I love that, love that, love that. It's a feeling. That's a fuzzy feeling. But that type of agape love that's unconditional, that's God's love. So the agape Jesus type of love, not the love that benefits what I do, not the love that makes me feel good, gives me self-gratification, the way the world tries to tell you what love is, that's not the kind of love that this is talking about. This is the love that this is a choice, that this is an unconditional love. This means to love somebody that maybe doesn't deserve your love, maybe to love somebody that isn't necessarily nice to you. Dr. Jerry Boucher, I don't know how to say his last name, love is loyalty and commitment to serve a person so that they become more like Jesus, even if it means I give up my own rights and privileges as Jesus did for that one. Doesn't mean you love yourself less. It just means that you might give up a privilege. Right? I'll say that one again. Love is loyalty and commitment to serve a person so that they become more like Jesus, even if it means I give up my own rights and privileges as Jesus did for that one. And Michael Wilkins, a scholar of the gospel, defines agape love as an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person in which one gives oneself to another to bring the relationship to God's intended purposes. To love God is to give ourselves to allow his purposes for us to come to pass. For us to love others is to partner with God for their purposes to come to pass. We have a divine purpose to love other people for their purpose to come to pass. It is not about us getting self-gratification, loving other people. It's not about what they do for us. It's about us partnering with God for them to fulfill the purpose they have with God. Then we also partner with God for our lives to fulfill the purpose we have for God. That's how love works for us and for the next person. So there's so much in that to go into a later day because there's a lot in this that I have found. So I just want to speak right now in the last couple of minutes. For us all, I'll get the band up. So we're finishing now. So for a moment, lay down all you were taught and all you were teaching and all you were thinking and all that you've been taught all of these years. Just close your eyes for a moment apart from the band that's coming up. Yeah, the band can't close their eyes because they're walking. And just for a moment, know how truly chosen, redeemed, forgiven by grace, been given mercy. Your identity is in Christ, the one who died and rose again for you. How extremely unconditionally you are loved. Some of us here need to first forgive ourselves and realize how loved we really are, because some here don't actually allow that sort of love to penetrate us. We think that love is sort of like in a distance. Yeah, God says he loves me, but I don't feel it. Because we come back to that fuzzy feeling of love. But it's a knowledge that God loves me unconditionally no matter what I do, no matter what I did, and I did not deserve it. And for that love to know that because I am so loved, regardless of this, I can love others regardless of what they do or regardless of how I see them. We don't need to teach anybody to see anybody. What we need to teach people and our children and our next generation is how loved they are by God. Because when we teach them how loved they are by God, and when we know how loved we are by God, we don't need to be taught to see somebody else. When we truly know how loved we are by God, we will see others. We will love others. We will forgive others. We'll be merciful on others. We will give grace to others. And so will our children. So will our youth. So will our next generation. That's what we need to teach them. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are all invited to live lives of love that rise up like a sweet fragrance to God, all of us. And when we know this is the kind of fragrance that we want to walk in, we'll imitate it, replicate it, teach it, but we all have to actually know it ourselves. So this morning, while all of your eyes are closed, I don't know if there's one person here that's going to go, I don't want to know that God loves me, and if that's you, don't participate. But I would hope to think that every single person here wants to know the unconditional love of God that he has for you. So let's all stand. And I just want to pray for you all. And what I'm going to do, because it's Mother's Day and people can go, I'm going to open the altar if somebody wants prayer. Because if you feel like I've got all of this baggage from my history or my culture or my past that I just want to lay down at the altar, there will be room. If you feel like, you know, it's Mother's Day, I have to go, you're going to be excused to go after I pray for you. So I don't really want to hold anybody here. But I do want to open the altar if you feel like I just want to come down and I just want to lay it down. I don't want to miss that opportunity because I do feel like this is where God has led it. But I just want to pray for you all. Thank you, Father. Everybody that's here this morning, all that's watching, Father. I mean, really, everybody, Father, all your children in this world, Father. May they know your unconditional agape love, Father. May they know it for themselves. May they know it truly for themselves, Father. May we all lay down every teaching that we've taught or been taught that does not coexist with the love that you have for us. May we only teach your love. And what is your love? And what is your mercy? And what is your grace? May we teach that to our next generations. May we learn that for ourselves. May we feel that for ourselves. May we understand that for ourselves. And may we give that out to the next generation. May we give that out to the next person. May we give that out to the above generation. May we give that out to any person that you put in our way, Father. May we teach your love, your agape, unconditional love, Father, that every single person will know who you are in them and how much you love them, Father. May you open our eyes to see people through that love. May you open our eyes to forgive people through that love. May you open our eyes to have mercy on people through that love, to give grace through that love. Everything that we say may be given through that love. Everything that we do may be given through that love. Every action through that love. Every word through that love. Every breath through that love. Nothing that we do, nothing that we exist in may be given outside of that love. May everything that we live for be in that love, Father. May you show everybody here that knows and doesn't know your love even deeper and stronger, and even just to show it for people who don't know it, God. I thank you to lay your love deeper on every single heart that's here this morning, Father. Deeper and deeper and deeper. May you teach us how to see people. May you teach us how to forgive people. May it be your teaching and your teaching alone. When we read the word, Father, may it be you who shows us how to read that. May you guide us, Holy Spirit, in every way. And every teaching that's been tied up to us, that's from our past or culture, we break now in the name of Jesus and open wide only your love through us and inside of us now in the name of Jesus. All right, so we're going to, amen. So we're going to open this up for those who want to. If you want prayer, we're here to pray for you. If you need to leave, you can go. Happy Mother's Day. If you want to take a box and they're still there, take a box. But if you want to come out here and get prayer, yeah, I just feel we can't even do without that. So, yep.
There is no one, only Jesus. I am an instrument of exaltation, and I was born to lift the name above all names. And you hear the melody of all creation. But there's a song of praise that only I can bring. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Oh, who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. I am in it. Seated on the throne above. is worthy? Who else is worthy?
The high.